here and stand with me, would you? You're dressed kind of funny, but you're a nice guy anyway. You'll probably address that in a few seconds. Hey, listen, some of you may know Steve Manning. His wife, Kathy, wasn't able to be with him today, but he was here 10 years ago and did a weekend for the church and talked about missions. He is Doris Ott's son-in-law. Some of you may know Doris Ott. She has a real prophetic ministry and just has been here as well, talked to all women. Was it this year, hon, that Doris came? It was this year, wasn't it? Okay. And just had a tremendous ministry. Steve was with our elders last night, and we, for a couple of hours, just basked in the presence of the Lord, just being touched by him. This man knows what it's like to go to nations and to touch people. In 1984, he had a real change in his life. He went on a 10-week around-the-world outreach project, and he told me that changed his life. He and his wife became founders of Bless the Nations Ministries, been to over 70 nations. They have Bible schools, schools of ministry. They do pastors' conferences. They have an orphanage. Just so many, many things that God has done through someone who's just like you and me, but just said, Lord, send me. And we are honored to have him today. And I'll tell you, this morning in the first service, the Lord spoke to us. It's just more than a good message. It was the word of God to us. And I want you to open your ears. And I would even pray that our ears would hear what the Spirit says today. I don't want you to hear what Steve has to say. I want you to hear what God has to say. Now, God's going to sound a lot like Steve, okay? But when God speaks, there's something that will impact your heart. And I'm just delighted to look forward to today having lunch with you and talking a little bit more. But have at it. You've got about 45 minutes, so take all of it and give us your heart.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. Good morning, Koinonia.
Good morning.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
You're a friendly bunch?
Yeah?
You know, I can't think of any place. Well, you know, I think I could think of a place that I'd rather be. I think that I'm here on time, but there is always one place that I'd rather be, and that would be where his name has never been heard. And there are places and people around the world that have never heard that wonderful name. You love him this morning?
Yes.
What's his name?
Jesus.
I know you do. I thank you for the invitation to come. I pray that God will open his heart to you. This morning, some people say God is a river. I say God is an ocean. And if he would just stand in front of you this morning, by his Spirit, the power of his word, and he would give you an invitation. My prayer has been that he would stand before you with his heart, and he would say to you, would you like to step in for a few minutes? And that somehow this morning you could just step in to the heart of God, because if you ever experience the heart of God, you will never be the same. So I couldn't want anything more for you this morning than the Holy Spirit to minister to you in a way where you just feel that God opens his heart to you and you walk into his heart, and there you meet something of the compassion of God. You know, we've spent our life in the nations. One of the first prophetic words that I ever received as a young man was, son, don't you know the world is yours? And you know, Joshua, when he ran out of the camp back to Moses, he said an interesting statement to Moses. They're prophesying. What are we going to do? And Moses said an interesting thing. He said, I would that all of God's people would prophesy. Do you remember that? And you know, what I say today is, I would that all of God's people would know his heart for the nations. That every one of you would have an experience, not just with the harvest, but with the Lord of the harvest. Tell me this morning, is Jesus Lord of India? Is he Lord of Pakistan?
Yes.
You like my outfit? Huh? Should have been in the choir, huh? Well, I wore this for a purpose, because there's in our planet over 6 billion people, 1 billion represents the Muslim world. And I have a tremendous burden for the Muslim world. And it's a part of my life. And I can't think of anything better for a Muslim heart than Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything better. You have your Bibles this morning? I like evidence. Can I see it? Say it with me. Would you have a miracle in my hands? I haven't ever found anything like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing. There's nothing that changes a human heart like this message, you know. I need a volunteer this morning. Sandy, you'd help me, wouldn't you? I'm going to give you a quarter, and I don't want anybody to take it from you. Can you hold on to that? You think she can do it without anybody getting it? Huh? You can. She's capable, huh? And I'm going to give you this quarter, and I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to take the quarter, and then I want you to pass it on. And I want you to tell that person that you hand it to pass it on, and that they should tell the next person to pass it on. You think you can do that? Okay, great. You know, in 1984, I took a 10-week trip around the world, and I didn't know what an impact that it would have on my life, because I think my motivation a lot of times for the nations was I saw the need. But I had an experience where I didn't see the harvest and I didn't see the need. I met the Lord of the harvest. And it's a different motivation of why you go or what you do, because you don't go just because there's the need. How many of you know the needs of the earth are maximum? So I knew I couldn't just go because of need, but I knew that if I met the Lord of the harvest, that would be a whole different reason for investing our lives. And Kathy, my wife and I have talked many times, and we've said one thing: we are so glad we opened the doors of our home to the nations of the world. And I have in my hand a little prayer that I made up years ago, and I meet a lot of people as I travel, about 80,000 miles a year. So you spend a lot of times on trains and boats and planes. How many of you like to fly? Anybody not like to fly? I saw a little nun the other day when we were landing. She was praying. And the closer we got to the runway, she looked like a fan. And I just took her hand and I said, are you needing a prayer? She said, oh, I need a prayer. You know, how many of you know they give announcements on planes? Can you tell me some of the things they're going to tell you about? Like no smoking and... Well, one lady came on, she said, you know, that little yellow mask... We hope you don't need it, but if it comes down, just stop screaming and put it on. And she said, if you have children, it'd be a good idea if you just put yours on first and then do your children. And she said, if you have a lot of children, pick your favorite. When we got off the plane, she said, now, folks, we know when you open those overheads... Little announcement there, something could happen. She said, we want you to take all of your stuff, and if you're going to leave anything, please leave something I'd like. Well, you know, these announcements that we get in situations in life are meant to, you know, maybe prepare us for what's ahead. And so I'd like to just say to you, did Jesus give us anything where maybe we should be on the edge of our seats and thinking that I'm just wanting to know what he had to say or what he says so I can align my life with those words? And I think that's the kind of Lord that he is, that he really did say some things, and if we could zero in on those particular things and order our life after it, you could build your life on some pretty amazing words that he gave us. How many of you like the words in red? I like the words in red. And so this morning, you know, I have this prayer. I often put it in a book. I've given it all over the world. I'm going to sow this morning. And I don't have another book. I sowed one in the early service. But It's a prayer of how to give your life to Jesus. I often use one scripture. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be. You know that scripture? Some of you look like you didn't know that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be
saved.
That's the gospel in one verse. That means you could sow that into somebody's spirit and you'll probably never see them again. But at the right moment, God can bring by the Holy Spirit the Word of God back to that person. And I'm anxious when I get to heaven after sowing that verse in so many lives. How many people stopped at some point in their life and remembered that scripture and said, you know what? I'm at the point in my life, I need to call on Jesus Christ and save me. And that's all it takes. If a man or a woman calls on the name of Jesus Christ from their heart, God saves them. So, well, before I go up, I'm going to sow it to you. I want you to get a little book, and I want you to look for somebody, and I want you to give them a book with that prayer in it, and sow the gospel somewhere. Everybody say with me, I can build my life on three things. Would you like to know what those are? Okay, I'll come back next year and tell you. Should we talk about that? Well, while I wear this today, it's for a purpose. If you feel to shoot up an arrow of prayer, would you please pray that God will give us laborers for the Muslim world? Would you please pray that God will anoint us to harvest? My prayer these days is, Lord, give us the Muslims. 1 billion people that are waiting to hear the gospel. I'm glad I'm at Koinonia this morning, but there is one place I'd rather be, and that's where they've never heard His name. If you'll open your Bibles, please. What do you have in your hand? What is it? This is the message, folks. This is the miracle. How many people have touched that quarter? Everybody raise your hand. Who's touched that quarter? It's moving, isn't it? Oh, wow. How many have touched that? Just take a look around. It's moving. See, Sandy, what do you have in your hand? Anybody else touch Sandy's quarter? Oh, there's not one hand up. How many have touched the quarter of this lady right here that fulfilled her assignment? Look, sister, look at how many. You started this. You know, we get a little picture of what happens as we just pass on the gospel. So, something's going to come up on the screen here. I want you to take a look. I'm going to talk to you about three things you can build your life on. I believe that those three things are the things that Jesus said to us that become absolutely essential to the best way we can give our lives. The first one is called the Great Commandment. You see it? Up is going to come a scripture with that, and I want you to read that scripture for me. Are you ready? Okay. Teacher. There it is. You know, if I could describe for you how I feel these days, I feel like I'm sitting on the edge of my chair. Not back, but like this. And I am just waiting to hear anything that God would say. Jesus said something in the Great Commandment that you can build your life on. I'd like to let you know this morning that there isn't anything that would please God more than when He looks in the earth and finds somebody that when He testifies about you, He would say, there is somebody that loves me with all their heart. There couldn't be any greater testimony than for God to say, like He did about Abraham, Abraham is my friend. That's not what somebody else said about Abraham. That's not what Abraham's wife said about him. That's not what his friends said about him. The Bible said that was God's testimony about Abraham. And how many of you'd like God to have a testimony about you that he would say, he's my friend? There's something about if God would say that, there's a closeness there. There's something that you have decided to love God more than you love yourself. And that's what's happening all over the world today. The gospel is taking a hold of families. We're not just seeing individuals come to the Lord today. Folks, I'm seeing whole families come to the altar with grandma and grandpa, Baba and Babu. So it's a day where salvation has worked. How many have touched that quarter now? Ooh, is the gospel moving? How many have touched the quarter? It's moving. It's clear over here now. So what God is doing is he's looking for somebody that will build their life on this commandment. That somehow in all the thousand other things you could be doing today, which there are a thousand other things you could do besides serve Jesus Christ. There are people in the earth that said, Lord, I could have a thousand other things, but I've decided I want one thing more than anything else. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those kinds of people are the delight of God in the earth. That he can't think of anything greater that he could say about you or me than to look down and say, there is one that lives by the great commandment. How many of you would like to order your life after the great commandment? Yes. God's looking for those kind of people. It is possible this morning to love Jesus more than you love anything else. I think you'd like to hear it. You know, I say, what do I see in front of me? You know, we're from a lot of backgrounds. We may be from another nation. But I'll tell you what I see in front of me. Koinonia. I see some people in this room that have a burning desire for the will of God. There's something that works in your heart that says, you know, Steve, I want to know God. I want to know God. I want to be close with Jesus Christ. Some of you in this room have a determination in these days that you're saying, I will lay down whatever it costs, Lord. I want you above everything else. There's a thousand other things I know that you could do this morning, but I am so thankful for the ones in this room that live your life by that commandment that you have said that out of everything else, I want Jesus first. I want him the center of my life, the center of my home, the center of my purpose. I want to be everything that Jesus wants me to be. A worshiper is not an action. A worshiper is somebody that lives by this commandment. Son, don't you know the world's yours? My heart today would say, like Moses said, I would that all of you knew the world is yours. All of you knew that God's heart beats for the person that's never heard his name. I've got a brick here. Anybody notice the bricks? Did you see the bricks? Tell me, Steve, I saw the bricks. We're not starting a building program, folks. We're kind of going to look at the brick because we sure don't want to be like that inside. A few moments, the compassion of God will fill this house. It would be good for us this morning to be ministered to by the compassion of God. Don't you believe that? I couldn't do this on my own. I wouldn't want to minister in the nations of the earth without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad for the baptism. I'm glad for praying in tongues. I wouldn't want to work internationally without the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I wouldn't want to work internationally without the love of God. Say it with me. God loves people. Say it again. Why don't you say it to your neighbor? Up on the screen is going to come another step, another thing that we can build our life on. It's called the Great Commandment. And with that's going to come a scripture, and I'm going to have you read that. I'm sorry, the Great Commission. Yes, I'm sorry. So we have the Great Commandment, and secondly, we have the Great Commission. Can you read that for me? Ready? Go for... Great Commission. 8 years ago, my father went to heaven. I was sitting with him at a table. I was getting ready to leave on another trip. I'd spent a few days with him. We knew that it was the final days of his life. My dad and I have had a really good relationship. My dad was outdoors. He taught me to hunt, taught me to fish, taught me a lot of things about wilderness life and survival that I still remember this day. His words live in me. I can remember as a young man something he told me to do to survive if we ever got lost. And we were in the wilderness of Colorado a lot of times where you wouldn't see anybody for 2 or 3 days. And he felt it important to tell me something to survive. I've never forgotten that. You know, if I go in the mountains today, I don't go without matches in a baggie. They're in my pocket because my dad said you put matches in a baggie so they won't get wet and you can build a fire. And a fire will keep you warm and it'll cook your squirrel. And it might be a light that somebody will see that you're there. One little principle, look how far it could go. I'm getting ready to leave on a trip. I took my dad's hand. And I said, Dad, I'm not sure that I'm going to see you in this life again. I'd like to know if you have anything to say to me. How many of you think you might want to hear what they had to say? You think I hung on those words? Do you think I anticipated that he would say something? And do you think there was something in me that says, oh, I sure hope he says something. I hope he doesn't just look at me and say, no, I don't have anything to say. Well, I want to ask you something, folks. When those 12 men that were trained by Jesus Christ, I like your theme, Beyond the Borders. I have a friend, Reach Beyond the Borders. I have a friend that has a ministry called Vision Beyond the Borders. He took that in an interesting way. He said the vision of Christ from the cross was higher so he could see across the borders. So the vision from the cross isn't just for who was right there. The vision went a lot farther than that. I want to tell you, Koinonia, you have something to give the world. How many have touched that quarter now? Look, that's exactly how the gospel works. We're just moving the message. Everybody say, move the message. What's the first two words in gospel? G-O, so we've got to go in gospel. Let me give you the nature of the gospel. This plan that God made was that the go, or the nature of the gospel is always looking for another person. It's always looking for another place. It's always wanting, just like I said, if there was one other place I'd rather be, where would it be? Where the gospel's not been. Do you know it's wonderful to walk into a place, folks, and there is no Bible, and there is no church, and they've never worshiped like you've worshiped. They've never danced. They've never shouted the shout of salvation. They don't know the song of the redeemed. And when you leave, there's a Bible, and when you leave, there's the church, and when you leave, there's a dance, and when you leave, there is worship where there was no worship to Jesus Christ. We move the message. Just passing a quarter was a great illustration of the nature of the gospel to move the message. I see something today in the church. Somehow we love the blessing of the gospel, But sometimes we're not very good carriers. God's looking for a carrier. You know, there's a lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you know, we're not very hungry or zealous to see somebody else baptized in the Spirit. And we wouldn't want to give it up. And we love being able to pray in tongues, but we don't have something in us to really move that message. But how many would agree with me this morning? If a Muslim got saved this morning and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that would send them miles ahead. So somebody's got to carry not just salvation, somebody's got to carry the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the Muslim world. I'll tell you what I say to Jesus is, Lord, I'll be a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the Muslim world. Because I know if a heart based on a philosophy of hate and terrorism meets the power and the compassion of Jesus Christ, I've got the best possibility that that man or woman will never be the same again. I can't give the Muslim world anything better than the love of God, than the love of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. I can't offer them anything that would hopefully change a direction of something that's moving in the earth that is affecting all of us. How many of you agree with me this morning? We need some carriers of the gospel and carriers of the baptism. Is that true? Anybody here say, I could do that? I'll carry the message. I'll carry the gospel. I'll carry the baptism. May God fulfill it in Jesus' name. A lot of things these days, folks, that can shut you down. A lot of things that can make you cold. A lot of things that can callous you. I wrote this message because of the condition of our generation. I can probably give it to you in three words: baggage, damage, and bondage. Can you say that? Baggage, damage, and bondage. Just take a look at your generation. That's it. Three words. I guess I wrote this message because that's what we're facing. Maybe because of the intense hunger around the world, physical hunger, children without food. Maybe because of AIDS and disease. Do you know I visited a country 2 years ago, folks? Namibia. Do you know what it says to you currently in our generation? It means that we could see the headlines, a nation no longer exists because of AIDS. That's the percentage in Namibia of AIDS, that it is a small nation, but the percentage of AIDS is so high that we could read in the newspaper that a whole nation has been annihilated. Have you thought of that? Folks, can we do this with Steve Manning love or with Jane love or with Joe love? But can we do it with the compassion of God? Yes or no? You know what? God's going to work in us until we love more than they hate. And it's not going to be because of our love. Steve Manning love falls well short. It'll lock up. It'll shut down. It gets cold. But if I get touched by the compassion of God, it'll flow through you until you can forgive and bypass any hatred that you would see. And the love of God does a miracle. How many of you agree with me? The love of God is a miracle. How many of you agree with me? The gospel is a miracle. How many of you agree with me? Jesus Christ, there is none like Him. None. Maybe because of the huge culture today that we face. Maybe because of a lost soul. Can you say lost? You like that word? I don't like that word. This lady changed her mind down here. She changed her mind. Holy Spirit must have done that. Like the word lost? Yes, she said no. No. Just the word saying it does something to me because, folks, you know, when I was about 22 years old, Jesus took me to hell. And I still feel it today. And I want you to know in this room that there's nobody in this room that wants to go to hell. Lost is lost. And there is only one Savior. And I've said to many Muslims many times, you have a great religion. It must be great because it reaches 1 billion people. But I easily say to him, but the one thing that I have that you don't is Islam does not have a savior. Islam has no savior. That's why Jesus Christ is a candidate for anyone. You know, you can be materialist, you could be communist, you could be Hindu, you could be Muslim, you could be American, Filipino, Chinese. Jesus died for everybody. He's the savior for every Muslim because there is no other savior. Say it with me. Salvation belongs to the Lord. There's no other plan, folks. If you're sitting around waiting for God to create another plan to save a soul, it's not going to happen. The gospel is finished. The work of the cross is finished. The blood is done. The sacrifice is over. There is one Savior, and salvation belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You know what I see in front of me? I see some people that have a burning desire to do something for their Savior. I see some people in front of me that say, God, if I could accomplish one thing with my life, I'd just like to stand before you and say, I did your will. Some of you sitting in front of me said, God, I'd love to hear your testimony for me that you would just say, I was your friend. I cannot tell you the value today in the eyes of heaven of one life in this world lived for Jesus Christ. A life. You began the race, folks, but the beginning is nothing. Once you start, the only thing then is to finish. Right? How many of you want to finish the race? Say long and well. How many of you want to be an honor to the gospel? An honor to Jesus Christ? Then I can't offer you anything better than to hang on the words of Jesus himself, to love the Lord your God. I can't offer you anything better. I didn't forget, folks. I hung on the words of my Father. You thought I forgot, didn't you? No. I think you want to hear what he had to say, don't you? See, you're hanging on some words. But I would that it's not those words that you'd hang on. Those were for me. But I would that you would hang on the words of the Great Commission and the Great Compassion. In a few moments, the compassion of God is going to touch you. In a few moments, the heart of God is going to be in front of you, and God's going to invite you to say, you want to step in. And when you step in, you may meet the Lord of the harvest. You may find as a church that God says, Koinonia, you have something to give Hanford. You've got something to give the world. If I had something prophetically for you this morning, just simple in my message, you can write it down. Koinonia is a gift from God to Hanford. You like that word? Your pastor is a gift of God to you. And you, church, are a gift from heaven for this city and for the nations. I was blessed. I think Jeff handed me a piece of paper that showed all the missionaries that you're helping, the different things you're connected with to reach beyond your walls. If we could look at the compassion of God, would you turn with me to Psalm 145? Psalm 145. It's coming up. Would you read that for me, starting there at verse 8? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Jesus said it in words of red, the great compassion. I believe it's Matthew 25:40. You don't want to miss these words. He said, if you do it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. You know Scripture here, don't you? So those are His words to us. My dad took my hand and he said, "Steve, I want you to pray for me." He said, "I want you to ask Jesus to just come and put His arms around me and take me home. I'm ready." Well, I would gladly do that as His son. As a servant of the Lord or His son, I would gladly pray for him. He also said a couple of things to me about my mother, of which I have lived on those words the last 4 years of my life. Those words would actually change some very, very deep things in our ministry and life. I hung on those words. Koinonia, friends of God, lovers of Jesus, those that burn for His will, I would that you would sit on the edge of your seat and say, "What really did He say?" And if you would order your life after the great commandment and the great commission and the great compassion, you will live in the heart of God. There's not anything better you could ever do with your life than to wrap your life around those words of red. That brick surely can't be us in these days. We've got to find a way to not shut down, but turn it up. Everybody say, turn it up. We've got to find a way not to be hard, not to be offended so easily, to forgive quickly, so the compassion of God can work through us, so the message can be carried, so something can move. Let's move the gospel, folks. Are you with me? Let's move the gospel. You know, I found a way sometimes to, when I walk with the Lord in the nations, you know, we have a plan. You know, I'm always looking for one. I was in Macedonia, and that word between Jesus and I as we talk are, "Steve, pick out the hardest face." And I was walking through a mall in Macedonia. I don't speak Macedonian very well, but I speak Serbian, and I knew I could step into their world just by language a little bit. They'd understand. And sure enough, my face fell on the hard face. And the first thing I thought was, "Man, he's so young." But as I stepped into his world, greeted him, "Zdravo, kako si? Kako ste? How are you? Hello." He knew that I had an accent. He wanted to speak a little English, so I was in very fast. But it's a hard face. See, he doesn't know I walk with Jesus. He doesn't know we carry a message. He doesn't know that we try and keep our lives under the great commandment, the great commission, and the great compassion. He's clueless. I wanted to mess up his world. I wanted to find what made that face tick. How many of you know there's a story behind every face? Story behind every face. Marcus. While I'm sitting there, God communicates with me the word guns. Everybody say guns. What are you going to do with that, folks? Did that come out of heaven? Guns? I'm thinking, wow, I've got to trust the Lord here. You know, I just want into his world. I have a purpose, you know. I'll probably never see the man again. I feel directed of God, but I've got to get there. I've got to have something, and guns is there. So I just start talking to him. I said, "I don't know what you like to do, but I like guns." He kind of looks at me, and he hears me out. And I said, "Yeah, I've been working with my son. We've been shooting some rifles to get ready. I'm going to take him on his first elk hunt this year." And that was last year. Or maybe it had already happened, and I told him it had happened, and I trained Matthew to shoot. And I said, "He's doing pretty well, you know. He's learned how to carry a gun, how to respect a gun." I said, "Do you like guns?" Man, this guy reaches in. I'm sure glad he pulled out his cell phone. I was thinking the same thing. What's coming out of the pocket? It was his cell phone, and he flips on his little video. And he proceeds to show me his little video, you know. And this little cell phone comes alive with bum, 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 bum. I thought, wow, we hit something here, huh? And I'm looking, there's four guys in the video. They're kind of in military garb and they're shooting targets, but it wasn't little nice round targets, it's human bodies. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm Cerno Molizia. Would you like the interpretation? I'll come back next year. You hanging on some words, folks? Black police. Black police means that if he gets sent, somebody's probably gonna die. It means that he's on an assignment to protect a country, to do a SWAT work team. You know, he's a marksman, a sharpshooter. So I'm 3 minutes into his life, and what do I know? I know quite a bit. We're in. Where are we going? I know where we're going. We're carrying a message. Folks, you have your Bibles? What's in your hands? It's a miracle. It's the plan of God for every human being. Marcus. I said, Marcus, can you tell me your life in 2 words? No problem, Steve. Guns and sex. But he didn't say sex. He said a horrible word. No boundaries, no marriage, just anytime, any place, anyone. I'm 4 minutes into his life, and what do I know about a man? I said, you're so young. How'd you get to this position of Cerno Milizia? He said, well, I know, Steve. He said, I'm a marksman, and I have no conscience. Very interesting statement from a human mouth, isn't it? How many of you think he's a candidate for the gospel?
Oh, amen.
How many of you think maybe God just set that up a little bit? Yes. How many of you think it might help him a little?
Yes.
You think the gospel may help Marcus just a little bit?
Yes.
No conscience, guns, sex. Wow. Marksman, death. Wow. Hard. So I said, Marcus, could I tell you my life in 3 words? He looked at me with this kind of half smile, like, wow, I've got guns and sex, and he's got 3. I'm missing one. That's what he was thinking. Are you ready? Are you hanging on the words, folks? I would. That in these important days in the earth, that you would sit on the edge of your seat to wait to hear what God would say to you. It may change your life. It may make your home so much better. It may make such a difference if you'd sit on the edge of your chair and say, God, talk to me. Lord, I'll walk with you. I burn to know what you have to say to me. I said 3 words. I said it in Macedonian. Gospoda Jesus Christo. In Spanish, Señor Jesus Christo. I had his full attention. Dropped his cell phone. I messed up his world. I messed up his life. And now somebody was there that wasn't just Stephen Marcus. The compassion of God came. And he said, why in the world did you say that to me? Why did you say to me, Gospoda Jesu Christos? And for the next 10 minutes, I shared the gospel with him. That hard face for the first time broke. At the end of 10 minutes, he said, Steve, I've never heard it. I've never heard about the love of God like this. I said, Marcus, I'm not going to pray with you today. I'm going to give you one scripture. Whosoever calls on the name of Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Can I take 5 more minutes? Yes. It's 12:30, folks. Your roast is on. If it burns, just make it a burnt offering. Can I have 5 more minutes? A great compassion. I was asked to interview in Pakistan a young girl that I was just going to take an interview for. That's all. There was no other assignment but to take an interview. And to present to other places in the world among the body of Christ that human slavery is a real condition, and it's even a legal condition in many places. I have to tell you, I've never met with a person that has lived in slavery. It was my first experience. When she walked in the room, I didn't know if I was looking at a princess or a slave. I wasn't really sure of all that I should ask or do. Here she is. Her name is Rabina. Rabina's a brick kiln worker. She makes bricks every day. Sold into slavery at the age of 10 to pay a debt from her parents. The only thing she knows about her life is that she had some kind of Christian background, probably nominal Christian. Christians have a low position in Pakistan, so oftentimes if a Christian gets in debt, the only way they can do things is, well, we'll take your daughter for the debt. So I asked Rabina to tell her story. We had a recorder. We have a video camera. I said, are you okay with this? She said, I need to tell my story. I've never had a chance. We'd paid a little money to have her out for about an hour. They graciously let her come for an hour. I don't even know how much we gave for that. And she began to tell her story. Would you say it with me? The compassion of God. How you need it today. And what a difference it'll make in your life. It'll help you to love so much further than yourself. You can love God more than yourself. You can let God's love flow through you into places and situations and people that you never thought possible, because you're not living on your love, you're living on His love. Rabina told me she got up early in the morning. She worked for the family, Muslim master. At 10 o'clock, she went to the brick kiln, the hot Pakistani sun with those fiery brick kilns. I've seen them many times. And all day long, she would make bricks. And in the evening, she would come home and she would serve the family until she dropped into bed 10, 11 o'clock, ironing, doing dishes, doing whatever she could. I said, Rabina, You were sold at 10, now you're 22. I said, in all those years, were you ever free? And she said, well, never really free. She said, one Christmas they gave me off. I went to a church. She said, because they said my name revealed some kind of Christian background, so I went to a Christian church, sat through a service, and I did get to talk to the pastor, and the pastor said to me, well, Rabina, we can't pay your debts, 60,000 rupees, about $1,000. But I can tell you, Rabina, that I'll give you something, that Jesus Christ is more powerful than Islam. And you can speak to Jesus every day and ask Him to set you free. And remember that the name of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any other name. You pray in His name. She said in the evenings, that happened at about 15, so for 7 years she prayed. She said it was the best part of my day, was just talking to Jesus. But yet she really didn't know Him. She didn't really understand Christianity. She just had hung to her roots, and there were times they pressured her to become Muslim, but she had resisted because something in her said, I want to understand who I am as a person, my background. So I said, well, Rabina, anything else? She said, well, I said, any desires that you've had in your heart, even though you've been in slavery? She said, yeah, 2 desires. One, to be free. Secondly, I'd love to learn how to sew so I could learn a trade, because I've never been to school, but if I could learn a trade, I could make a living for myself. So now you see the desires of her heart. "Anything else, Rabina?" She said, "Well, it's pretty painful." But she said, "When I became 13, became a woman, then they started to abuse me." And she said, "I've been constantly abused from that time on." And she said, "I love life and I don't want to die. And if I resist, they'll just kill me. I mean nothing to them." And she said, "Three times I was pregnant. And I remember so well laying on that table as they ripped those children from me." And she said, "I'm only 22, Steve, but I have a heart of a mother, and I would have gladly raised those three children." And she says, "I think about them all the time." She said, "I feel so ashamed and so dirty and so unclean and so unworthy." And every word you could think of, that's how she felt inside, of no value. Well, folks, again, just like at the table with Marcus, it wasn't just Rabina and me and a reporter. The love of God and the compassion of God filled the room. Coming up on the screen is a little phrase I want you to say while it comes up. Can you say, "I could do that"? I could do that. Say it to somebody else. Folks, you just don't know the miracle in your hands. God's love, compassion flowing through you. I said to a young man in the room, I said, "Go get me a brick." And he came running in with a brick, and I held it to Rabina and I said, "Is this what you do?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "You want to hold the brick?" And she said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Could you trust me?" I said, "Would you hold it?" And she said, "Steve, I don't want to hold it. I'm using an interpreter." And I said, "Please, just trust me. Just hold the brick." I'll never forget those hands, those slave hands and Prince's face that grabbed that brick. And when she took it in her hands, I laid 60,000 rupees on the brick. You could do that. And she said over and over, "Could it be true? Could it be true? Could it be true?" I said, "Rabina, you're free, and today Jesus Christ answers your prayer. Jesus Christ is more powerful than Islam, and you will never go back to the brick hill." That's a good place to say amen or something. That's a good place to say the compassion of God. I would that you would meet his heart today. Hanford needs the compassion of God. Koinonia, you have something to give. Hanford, you have something to give the earth. God's calling for the deposit here. He's just looking for somebody that'll live by the great commandment, the great commission, and the great compassion. Well, when we went to pay for her debt, we got a slave discount. You like that? It's not just at Kmart, folks. They were in Ramadan, and I said, "When you go to pay," I didn't go myself because I didn't want them to know it was me, because I didn't want them to up the bill. I said, "Just ask him about the abuse of her life. Don't say anything else. Just say, 'We've come because we've heard that she's sexually abused.'" That was a shame to him. That was something he couldn't do anything about because it was right in the light. He discounted her debt. And with the discount, you know what we did? We put her in a sewing school. And Rabina is now a seamstress, and she lives with a Christian family. Salvation belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked her, I said, "Rabina, do you want to pray and give your life to Jesus?" And it was all worth it for this. I called my wife and I said to her that day, I said, "You know what you did today?" I said, "You just set a slave free." Called her 5,000 miles away. This was worth it all. She said, "Steve, I understand Christianity." I said, "Rabina, did you know I was a slave once?" She said, "You were not." I said, "Yes, I was. I was a slave to my sin. I was a slave to myself. I was a slave to my darkness, my own selfishness." And 2,000 years ago, somebody paid the price to set me free from my slavery. In that few minutes, just giving her the gospel, she said, I understand. Her prayer was beautiful. Lord Jesus, as Uncle Steve bought my freedom, I now understand what you did. And I receive your salvation today. Rabina is free. Could someone come to the piano for me? Thank you. Would you stand to your feet, please? Thank you for inviting me to share the Word of God. I love the gospel. I love His name. I would that somehow the Holy Spirit would just fall on every one of you and that the heart of God would be right in front of you right now. And that you just step into His heart. Those of you that would like to, I'd like you to put your hands up. I'm going to pray for the compassion of God in this house. I want you to ask Him, Lord, I receive your compassion. Just say it with me, simple words, but so powerful. Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me, so simple, the great commandment, the great commission, the great compassion, the words of red. Now just let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Just receive. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for confirming your word in this house by releasing the compassion of God. Release the compassion of God, Lord, in this house. Over hearts, things that are shut down, things that are cold, things that are hard, let it be melted in the name of Jesus. Let it, where we have lived on our own love, let it be exchanged now for a compassion greater than our own. Lord, where we would just see the harvest, let us see the Lord of the harvest. God, reveal your compassion. Reveal your compassion. In Jesus' name, reveal your compassion. Do you have a song on the love of God? Something on the love of God?
Hallelujah, Lord. I hope you sense the water rising. It's kind of like a flood. As an old song says, the flood of the love of the Lord shall rise. And like a flood is destructive, the flood of love is constructive. It develops. It doesn't destroy. There's someone here today. I don't know if there's more, but I know there's at least one. You were given up for adoption. And you never felt loved. It's a new day for you. In a sense, God's love. Some of you have been divorced. It wasn't an amiable divorce at all. You were rejected. Kicked out. You haven't felt loved. God's doing something today in you. It's not just out there he's doing it right here. See, he wants to love you so you'll know how to love people. There's a flood of love that God wants to raise. We talk about God's power. His power is in his love. His power is in his love. If we can ever learn how to be compassionate, and we're on the right road, we're learning, but if we ever unleash the heavens through love, transformation will happen. Oh, God, thank you for loving us today. Thank you for loving us. Would you pass it on? Would you pass it on? Please, pass it on. That's what we've heard today. It's more than a good message. The 10 minutes extra is good time for God. Please thank the nursery workers. They're pulling their hair out. Kids are screaming. I'm going to get letters this week. But that's okay. We don't do it all the time. God's done something today. The rain's starting to rain. Will you get wet? Don't bring your umbrellas out. Get wet. Jump into the pool of love. Feel the love. Sense the love. Give into the love. Yield to God's love, and you'll sense him doing something wonderful. Prayer teams, would you please come down? Elders, wives, just make yourself available for those who may need to have some prayer. For those of you who are here today, and all of you are here, thank you for coming. Thank the nursery attendants as you pick up your kids as quickly as possible. We love you today. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Steve, for coming.